all, lovely to see you this evening. Thank you for coming to be a part of this worship evening slash testimony evening slash hearing the preached word of God. So we've got a lot to do this evening, but we want all the glory to go to God as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, not all of the hymns or songs this evening have been selected to reflect the resurrection theme, but I did this on purpose because I'm mindful that, of course, the resurrection is so central, as we talked about this morning, to our faith. Paul says, without it, our preaching and our faith is useless, it's in vain. But then he also goes on to say that he wants to know him, yes, in the power of his resurrection, but not just in the power of his resurrection, but also in the fellowship of his suffering. And we must always marry the whole gospel message together. Yes, we are joyful for the resurrection and we rejoice, but we must always remember Calvary, the suffering of Jesus Christ, and some of the hymns reflect also Calvary. I'm going to invite Anna to come now. She's going to read our open passage of scripture from Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10.
Good evening. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, I know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death.
Amen. And the next selection of songs and hymns really reflect those words of Paul. Our first hymn we're going to sing this evening is How Great Thou Art. And one of the verses of this great hymn, it goes like this: and when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce cannot take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Oh, what a thought, that God sent him on a mission to die, to take away our sins. So if you'd like to stand or remain seated, it's entirely up to you, however you feel comfortable. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art, followed by Light of the World, and then Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. trusts him because he lives. After we sing this great hymn, I'm going to now open up for anyone who would like to come and share a testimony that is on your heart, a testimony to signpost to the goodness of God in your life. We don't have to share our life story, but it's just a brief testimony and story to share of something that the Lord has done for you that you would like to share with us to be a blessing to us this evening. So after we sing, the stage will be open for you to come right here to this mic and you can share something that the Lord has laid on your heart. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is good all the time. And all the time, the Lord is good. I want to first of all thank the church for the privilege to share in the song. But before that, the Bible says that we overcame by the word, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the words of our testimonies. And the scripture also said that God is a very present help in times of trouble. My first testimony is that before now, I used to be very sick, taking medications, taking injections. But since I stepped my foot in Baptist Church, it's over 7 months now, and I have not had any cause to be sick. Hallelujah. And I have not had any form of emergency. My body has been so strong. Sometimes I begin to look at myself. I said, oh, I've not had any reason to take any form of medication. And I don't need to be told that I have stepped into where I have received my healing. Praise God. And finally, I had this situation that after every Sunday, I will go to the prayer corner, and I have been presenting that prayer and that request, and I've been asking God. It was so difficult for me to get that situation resolved. I would cry, and then it was causing me a lot of mental health, causing me a lot of, my blood pressure was going up. I said, God, help me. Somebody have sat on my document and said she was not gonna sign it for me to make progress in my career. So I continued to cry unto God. 2 days ago, the Lord touched her heart, and that document has been signed to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So I want to just do this short song, and I will crave your indulgence to join me if you know the song. He said, be still and know that I am the Lord. He's the Lord our healer. Whatever you're trusting God for, I want to assure you tonight that our God is able, and he will deliver us from any form of the situation. God is the only one who deliver us from the enemies that are stronger than us. Enemies of sickness, enemies of trial that is stronger than you, God steps in at the right time and deliver us. Praise God. I just hope that you will be blessed as I just do the short song. Hallelujah.
You are king over the flood.
I will be still and know you. Our God, I will be still and know you, our God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that He let be. I am the Lord that He let be. I am the Lord that He let thee. Oh yes, when the ocean rise and turn that rose, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King of all the flow. I will be still and know you, our God. I will be still and know you, our God.
Even going to try and beat that. You have a blessed voice, my friend, you really do. I don't think there's very many people around here who don't know Sarah and myself. We've been around since Adam was a boy almost. But you might have noticed that for a good couple of years we weren't around. Well, short story, we thought we knew better. So we went off to another church to see if the grass was greener. It was for a while. Then it all started turning brown. And COVID didn't help, obviously, because we were all stuck indoors. And I think what helped was listening to Chris and others with the Sunday sermons on Zoom and Facebook during that period, because it made certainly me realise what I'd left. And just before Christmas, Sarah and I both said, we're going back. The Baptist Church has been our home for 18 years. And thank God it is still our home, even with a break in the middle. Nathan, you are a man of God. You are blessed. And I thank you for being here to look after this fellowship and the lovely Anna. And thank you to everybody else who supported us in prayer over the last couple of years, because it really has been appreciated. Thank you.
I have said many times, I'm not going to say this anymore, but I'm going to say it one more time. When I was in Uganda, I was there for 11 years, and I was blessed with having a motor vehicle, which I could drive around. But driving in Uganda is not the safest of things. So every time I set off on a journey, the door was shut, locked, windows up, air conditioning on. And each time I prayed, Please, God, keep me safe. Keep the vehicle safe. Please don't let this vehicle touch any other vehicle, pedestrian or pedal cyclist, and don't let any pedal cyclist, pedestrian, or any other vehicle touch this vehicle, and please keep my vehicle mechanically sound. Okay, every time. And every time, apart from once, God did look after me and keep me safe. I used to help out for a couple of hours, a couple of mornings a week at the Tourism Institute of East Africa, where I would help the students with ordinary, everyday English. They called it tourism English. So one morning I'm on my way to the Institute, come to a roundabout, and as it is with most Ugandan drivers, if there's a space, they want to fill it. So you get a lot of traffic jams. So I was sitting at the roundabout waiting, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw this Boda Boda is a motorcycle taxi, weaving in and out of the stationary traffic. And as he comes onto the roundabout, he looks up and sees this policeman standing there, panics and hits the front of my car. Immediately, within about 10, 15 seconds, there's a crowd, and the policeman tells me to move up off the road. And I'm saying, it wasn't my fault, he rode into me. No, you move up. This took about 10, 15 minutes, and it ended up with me giving this young man a few thousand shillings to go to the hospital and get his shoulder fixed, which he said hurt very badly. Eventually, the policeman, first of all, they were saying that I should pay more because I'm a Mzungu, I'm not Ugandan. The policeman said, she is Ugandan, she's got a Ugandan driving license. So that changed their mind. So eventually, he said, you go now. And he stopped the traffic and let me out, and I drove off up to the Institute. When I arrived, the lady in reception there, she said, I obviously looked a bit shocked. Sorry. What had happened, and I briefly told her, and I said, every day, every time I get in my car, I ask him to keep me safe. Well, he didn't keep me safe today, did he? And she didn't answer me, just went off and made me a cup of tea. During the night, I'm fast asleep in bed, and all of a sudden, there is this audible voice, not a voice in my head, it's an audible voice. And the voice said, but I did keep you safe. I sent you an angel dressed as a policeman. I did keep you safe. So if you've ever doubted that there are angels all around, they are. They're there looking after you. Okay? How do I take this off without making a row?
Don't worry.
Basically, after the paramedics had come in, sort of got me started again and all the rest of it, Judy was left on the, at the top of the stairs, on her own, waiting for a lift to the hospital. And at that stage, she said, Jesus actually appeared to her there on the stairs and said to her, what do you want me to do? Thankfully, she said, I want to live. And what he said to her then, and I only found this out 2 or 3 months ago, actually, when I asked her, he actually said to her, be still and know that I am God. And he will. He's real, and he does the works.
Amen.
After 3 or 4 days later, came out of the COVID in the morning, and that's when he's real. Better looking, but.
those that shared your testimonies. We all have our own testimonies with God, and they're amazing, and He is real, just like Ian said, and He is always with us. Worship team, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. We're going to go straight to 1,000 hallelujahs. Please, if you're able, stand and join in with us singing.
Lord, we do want to again say hallelujah. We want to praise you, for you have done so much for us. Again, we want to thank you for our salvation, purchased on Calvary's cross. We want to thank you that you have invited us into your courts. You have welcomed us with open arms to receive from you, to have fellowship with you. As we sung earlier, you walk with us and you talk with us and you tell us that we belong to you. And we're so grateful, Lord, that we don't have to live this life aimlessly, but Lord, we can live this life knowing that we belong to you. We thank you that we can cry out, Abba Father, you are our heavenly Father. And we thank you that there is no greater love than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And thank you, Lord, that we're not only your children, but you also call us friends. And Lord Jesus, we do think very much, Lord, of our town, our nation, and our world that we're living in. We know, Lord, that the times, Lord, are so challenging, and there are so many needs all around us. But we thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. We thank you that you are our great provider. And we, Lord, pray that you would just continue to have your hand on us, your people, as your church. That, Lord, we can continue, Lord, to lift up the name of Jesus in this community. That we can continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to touch people's lives, that they may know you, know your love, and know your peace. So, Lord, we do pray that you continue to guide your church here in Sittingbourne, and not just us as a local expression, but all the other churches, Lord, in this town, across this nation and world, all those who are faithful to your word, all those who continue, Lord, to look to you as the author and finisher of their faith. We pray you continue to lead and guide us. So, Lord, as Alan comes in just a while to share, Lord, the word that you've laid on his heart, we pray, Lord, you just continue to bless him as your servant. Thank you for his heart for you, Lord, and his commitment to you and to your church over many years. We pray as he comes now that you would fill him and anoint him afresh with your precious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Alan, please do come.
Thank you, Nathan. Well, I think having listened to the four testimonies so far this evening, there can be little doubt that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is working in people's hearts and lives today. Let's look at the actual story of the resurrection from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. The other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there. Did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. I suppose that Easter is one of the great celebratory feasts of the Christian church. The fact that Jesus died for our sins on Good Friday and rose again on Easter morning. Yet for the disciples at the time, there was very much a sense of confusion and disbelief as I tried to make sense what had actually happened. Throughout his life on earth, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He backed this up by his high moral teaching, for the fact that he did many miracles, both involving the natural world, such as the stilling of the storm, and by healing many people. He also was surrounded by a group of his disciples, who was training up to continue his ministry after his death. But he also had enemies, principally the Jewish priests and religious leaders, whom he often branded as hypocrites. Then the Romans, the occupying power, who were willing to jump very quickly on any sign of trouble or rebellion. Now, all this may be very interesting. There's no more relevance to us than, say, Homer's Iliad or Caesar's Gallic War. But in heaven, things were rather different. A holy God looked down on the earth, on sin and strife, and decided it was time to do something about it. It'd be very easy to simply dealt with the sin by wiping out the world, just as he did in the days of Noah. He had another plan, and that plan was to send Jesus to die for the sins of the world. And on Good Friday, those two plans came together. Jesus was arrested by the temple guard, had a show trial in front of the priests, handed over to the Romans, then executed on a cross. The burial was hasty, because the body couldn't be left unburied on the Sabbath day. So the body was put into a borrowed tomb. And aware that Jesus had said he would rise from the dead, a guard was placed on the tomb. But that was not the end of it. Because as you read the Gospel accounts, you become aware that the resurrection was the last thing that people were expecting. And yet, the tomb was empty. One thing which is impressive, perhaps for the first time this year studying the scripture, is that there was no doubt the tomb was empty. Nobody disputed that. The question was what had happened to the body. That was the speculation. The priests may have suspected the body had been stolen, but they didn't believe that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. The women who went to the tomb on the first Easter morning were expected to find a dead body because they brought spices to embalm it. And after they found the body, it was missing, they were bewildered, afraid and trembling, according to Mark's account. When they returned to tell the disciples, they simply didn't believe it. It seemed to them as idle tales, as the Gospel says. And Peter and John had to go and see for themselves. Mary thought the gardener had moved the body, and Thomas took a week to believe. The disciples were simply not expecting the resurrection to happen. So why then is the resurrection so important for us? When Jesus died on the cross, he said two significant things. The first were the words, "It is finished." Now that didn't just mean the ordeal was over. He meant the sacrifice for man's sin had been made once and for all time. And the Old Testament sacrificial system was no longer necessary. Hebrews 11:27, unlike the other high priests, he, that is Jesus, does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, for first of all for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed their sins once and for all when he offered himself. Hebrews 10:10, we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. Never in the entire course of Jewish history had an animal been raised from the dead once it was sacrificed. It was burnt or it was eaten. That was the end. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead was a sign that God had accepted his sacrifice. Jesus' final words on the cross were addressed not to the crowd but to God. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Or as one of the gospel puts it, he dismissed his spirit. So there was no doubt then that the tomb was empty. And all sorts of thoughts must have crossed people's minds. Was it the right tomb? Well, it's in the tomb body of Jesus buried there just 36 hours earlier. Had someone stolen the body? The authorities perhaps, or some grave robbers? In spite of Jesus' predictions that he would rise again, the fact of the resurrection doesn't appear to have entered the disciples' minds. Wasn't until two angels appeared to some of the disciples, and then Jesus himself, that they finally believed. In 1 Corinthians 15, I spoke about last week, Paul is arguing against those in the Corinthian church who said the dead don't rise again. And most people today are in the same position. They would say, well, dead people don't rise. Until it comes to funerals, when relatives often seem to think that the death is not really the end, but the person is in heaven doing whatever he was doing on earth. 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If he did not raise him from the dead, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. But Christ was indeed raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. But Christ's resurrection had other purposes too. In John 14, Jesus says that he's going back to heaven or to prepare a place for us. Now, one of the most traumatic events in people's lives usually is moving house. Selling your own property, finding somewhere else to live, took us almost a year. Then there's a hassle of the moving itself, getting rid of all the things if you're downsizing, getting everything packed up, moving the furniture and so on. Then there's a jungle growth in the garden as well. Imagine there was a place where you could just go and move in with everything you need in place. One of the images that I had was of the second coming of Christ, with us all rising to be with him in the air, followed by a load of shipping containers with all our personal possessions. We don't really need that. The home Jesus has got for us is complete. The things we've accumulated over a lifetime would be of no value. But Jesus isn't just a glorified builder and a house remover. For we read in Hebrews 4 that Jesus is also seated at the right hand of God, praying for us in whatever situation we may be in. All this is the result of the resurrection and the empty tomb. Then in Luke 24, we have the story of the ascension. Because the resurrection opened the heavens, not just to Jesus, but to us as well. 1 Corinthians 15 again. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. All this is the result of the resurrection. And we can praise God because it is the sign that we too will go to be with Jesus in a home prepared for us for life eternal. Thank you, Nathan.
Amen. We thank God for his word and for his servant Alan, again for encouraging us about the truth and the hope of the resurrection. And let us continue as we leave in a short while to reflect that resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our lives day after day. What we're going to do at this moment, Anna's going to pray the benediction at this time, and then we're going to go into a period of uninterrupted worship as we draw things to a close. And feel free, if you have to shoot off, if you'd like to go through to the lounge for a tea or a coffee, that's absolutely fine after the benediction. But our worship team are going to lead us in some songs. And then we're also going to be blessed by Frank. He is going to lead us in a trumpet solo, Amazing Grace. So if you'd like to stay behind, just a period of uninterrupted praise and worship, we're just going to continue to worship God together. So we're going to draw things to a close now. Anna's going to pray the benediction and closing prayer, and then we'll just worship God together, and then we'll go through for fellowship.
Let us pray. Father God, we are so grateful for your presence in this place today. You are moving mountains with mustard seeds of faith, but I have seen faith grow today in the church, Father God. This morning we were lifting up our voices and we were singing your praise, and now we're reflecting on the things that you have done for us in our lives. Each of us have our individual testimonies with you, God, and you know our stories. We don't know everyone's stories. You know our story. Lord, I pray that you continue to keep us on the path towards you. We know that you will always go back for the lost sheep, Lord. And we pray that you keep us where we need to be. We pray for this town, Lord. We pray for this country. We pray for our world. Because, God, after all of this, we need you, Lord. We can't do this without you, God. We can't be who we need to be without you, Lord. The gifts you have blessed us with, Lord, may we use them for your glory. The voices that we have, may we use them to say your word, to tell people the good news of you. Because yes, you died. You were crucified on the cross. But as we know from this weekend, you have risen and you are within us, Lord. So Lord, we lift this week to you. We lift our futures to you. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. The worship team are going to lead us first with Vine Be the Glory, and then Christ the Lord is Risen Today. And then Frank is going to come and lead us with Amazing Grace, and then we'll close out with What a Beautiful Name.
Oh, My name's Frank. I served with Miles in the Royal Mint Band a long time ago. And it's lovely in the sense that I used to play, I can say now, I play nearly every day in care homes, and which is a real blessing. And when I'm in the Christian home, which isn't very often, I can say, well, I used to play for the Queen, but now I play for the King of Kings. And so it's just a wonderful blessing. It's been lovely to be here today and to add to the worship. And it's lovely. I was watching when we had that last thing this morning, people jumping around upstairs. Oh, anyway, I'm playing three verses. I've recorded this because I play it in care homes occasionally. I have to be very careful what I say because you can't proselytise. But I do ask them what, if anybody understands what the word grace means, and because they don't know what it means, and you can then tell them what it means, the word grace is something that we don't deserve. But anyway, so the last verse, of course, is when we've been there 10,000 years. But anyway, it's a long time since I've done this, but I hope this has been back in track, worked properly. Here we go.